We're talking about commandments, and we're talking about commandment number 3 today. You know, we've talked about commandment number 1, which reminds us what? No other gods, remember? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember that phrase, thou shalt have no other gods. Number 2, no graven images. You shall not make for yourselves graven images. And number 3, who knows what it is? You shall not. The King James says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I like the King James, but I like the New Living too. It says, listen to this translation, and maybe this will be a way to help you remember number 3. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. I also like the Message translation that says, no using the name of God your God in curses or silly banter. Then the follow-up to this command is, the Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse His name. Now listen to me for a second. These first 4 commands are about God and who He is. The last 6 are about us and our relationship to humanity and to each other. But in 1 it says, you shall have no other gods. You shall have no other. And 2 it says, you shall make for yourselves no graven image. And 3, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord thy God. Do not misuse it. In all of these he says, shall not, shall not, shall not. This is not debatable. When he laid out these commands to Moses and he laid them out to the children of Israel, he said, I am your God. Remember last week we said, I am a jealous God. And last Sunday night we saw in the Truth Project, those of you that are here, this jealousy is not a negative thing. This is a positive thing. I love you that much, he said. My love for you is a jealousy. I love you, and I want you to be my children. And in this relationship with him, he says, you shall have no other gods. Do not make for yourselves any graven images, any carved images. And then he says, don't misuse my name. And so I want to look at for a few minutes here this morning, 2 different commentaries and their notes on what they say about commandment number 3. First, from Adam Clark's commentary, he says this, this law not only forbids all false oaths, which we see in Matthew 5:33 from the New Testament. Jesus talks about swearing of oaths, remember? That's Matthew 5:33. Adam Clark's commentary says, this law not only forbids that and all common swearing where the name of God is used, but it also, and listen to me closely here, it also forbids all light and irreverent mention of God and any of His attributes. You hear what it's saying, friends? It forbids our light jest, using His name flippantly, in jest, and lightly. He goes on to say, and we may safely add to all these, that every prayer, this is new for me, when I read this commentary, applying it to this commandment, that we may safely add to this commandment that every prayer that is not accompanied with deep reverence and a genuine spirit of humility and piety is here condemned also. And so I asked myself, how's my prayer life? Adam Clark writes in his commentary, in how many thousands of instances is this commandment broken in the prayers, whether they're read or extempore, of inconsiderate, bold, and presumptuous worshipers, and how few are there who do not break it, both in their public and private devotions. He's simply saying here, when we come to the Father in prayer, come with a genuine spirit. Come with a genuine heart. Come with a sincere heart. Come with absolute awe and reverence of God in our prayer life. He goes on to say, the Lord will not hold him or her guiltless if he or she in any of the above ways or any of the other ways takes the name of God in vain, he will not hold us guiltless when we use his name this way. He will account him guilty, the commentary says, and punish him for it. And he goes on to say, is it necessary to say to any truly spiritual mind that all such interjections, just as saying, oh, in interjecting God's name, or my, in interjecting God's name, or good, in interjecting God's name, he says these are all formal positive breaches of this law. He concludes by this, how many who pass for Christians are highly criminal here in breaking this command? From Matthew Henry's commentary, the third commandment concerns the manner of our worship. Commandment one, we're addressing who? I just gave you the answer, who we worship. Commandment two, we're addressing the what's. Don't worship graven and carved images, he says. And in commandment three, he's addressing how we worship the Father. And so Matthew Henry says, the third commandment concerns the manner of our worship, that it be done with all possible reverence and seriousness. And so I ask myself, as I've read through this commentary numerous times this week, I ask myself, how serious are we even on Sunday mornings when we come to worship the Heavenly Father? How serious am I when I go to Him in prayer? How genuine am I? I've asked this question before. Are you here against your will this morning? And I've had people say, yep, Jim, I'm here against my will. And I ask us, how serious are we when we come to the Father to worship Him? Be it in the deer stand or on the job, be it on the farm or in the factory, or be it on Sunday morning. How serious are we? The third command concerns the manner of our worship of the Heavenly Father. He continues, how do we take God's name in vain? And he lists four ways. I've listed for you from Adam Clark a couple, three ways. Matthew Henry lists, how do we take His name in vain? He lists the number one way, by hypocrisy. You ever think of breaking commandment number three by hypocrisy? Here's what he says. By making a profession of God's name and not living up to that profession. In other words, I claim to know Him. Yes, Jim, I know God. But my life doesn't show it. My life doesn't reflect Him. Those, Henry says, that name the name of Jesus, but do not depart from iniquity as that name binds them to do, name the name in vain. Pretty strong language, isn't it? You say, Jim, I'm not sure he's right. Well, listen to me as I read for you from Matthew 15. Matthew 15, Jesus is addressing the Pharisees and the scribes, who we know to be the religious people of the day. And in Matthew 15, verse 7, he says, you hypocrites, Isaiah prophesied right about you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You see what he's saying? Breaking commandment number three. Yes, I know you, O God, and their hearts have no relationship with Him whatsoever. He goes on to say, in the next verse, Matthew 15:9, in vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrine. All of a sudden, Matthew Henry's commentary talking about hypocrisy has some credibility, doesn't it? Even for us today. Claiming the name on Sunday mornings and Monday looking like the world. Talking like the world. Acting like the world. Number one thing he says in this manner of how we worship and not profane His name is hypocrisy. Living and acting, walking and talking like the name of Jesus. Number two, by covenant breaking. If we make promises to God, yet perform not to the Lord our vows, we take his name in vain. Now, I suppose we have all had occasion to say, God, if you get me out of this, I'll do this. Covenant breaking. It follows up behind, yes, I want to know him. I want to invite Christ into my life, yet not performing, not living, not acting, not talking like we are a Christian. Number three, by rash or false swearing, which is mentioning the name of God in the form of an oath as a byword, if you will, as without purpose, if you will. In other words, using it lightly again. And I know that there's Old Testament, we would call it swearing by the name of God this, or as the Lord lives this. And this commandment is simply saying, be very cautious about this rashness, these false swearings. And number four, which is equally as important as the number one that Matthew Henry has listed here, is by using the name of God lightly and carelessly. You know what I'm saying? By using his name in everyday joking and jesting and just in careless manners. And let me be really direct here for a moment. A lot of us text. Right, kids? We text. Kids know what I'm talking about. Maybe folks of my age and up don't, but we communicate with technology. We talked about technology last week in Graven Images, didn't we? But we communicate with texting, and we communicate with Facebook and Twitter and MySpace and Skype and all these things, and I know I've lost a lot of you. But we communicate with these types of things, and we use letters and we use abbreviations, and way too oftentimes, I'm not picking on anybody here, I'm just saying this is a reality, way too oftentimes we put OMG, and you know what it says. That is using God's name lightly and carelessly. This command prohibits using his name lightly and carelessly. We have seen through both these commentaries, and we could have looked at a lot more, but these two alone are enough to shed some light on what does this commandment mean. And one of the most important things that it means, don't use the name of our Father in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, his Spirit, or even heaven, in jest. Don't use it lightly. Don't use it in our language if it's light and whatever it is. By using the name of God lightly and carelessly and without any regard to its awesome significance, Henry says, is breaking commandment number three. And so, I assume and conclude quite simply that if I'm not using his name in praise and thanksgiving and adoration, I'm probably using it lightly. I'm probably using it carelessly. You remember what James said in James chapter 3, verse 10? He said, my brethren, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. These things ought not to be so. And he goes on to dialogue further about that. With our mouth on Sunday morning, we bless God himself. And on Monday morning, we get back to the job site and we smack our finger with a hammer and we're cursing something with his name. The same mouth. James says these things shouldn't be that way. He goes on to tell us about the water. You can't get bitter water and sweet out the same fountain, and this mouth shouldn't be producing these same kind of results. Using the name of our Father, our Jesus, or his Spirit lightly is breaking commandment number three. We've concluded by these two commentators that hypocrisy is a serious infraction. We claim the name of Jesus as Lord. We claim that Jesus Christ has come into our life and lives there, and God lives in our heart, and yet our life reflects the world only. It's taking his name in vain. I gave a little illustration this morning. I got time, I'll give it to you too. I went out to supper one night with a bunch of business executives, presidents of food companies and potential customers and high ups in our own company. And we were over to Ivan's on the Bay, and a lot of important people. And one of the higher ups in our own business began to tell jokes, which he was so good at. This joke was not funny. This joke was not clean. This joke was derogatory. It was disgusting. Somebody else in our company is patting him on the back and laughing at the joke. And the very next words that came out of his mouth says, "Yeah, and he's a deacon in our local church." You see what God is saying here in commandment number 3? It doesn't work that way, friends. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord thy God. I like that word, misuse. Don't do it. And if my life is telling filthiness one moment, and then I'm getting patted on the back by the board of administration or the deacons or elders or whatever else here saying, "Yeah, but this guy's a good guy." My life is hypocritical, and it is taking the name of the Lord, my God, in vain, and it means nothing. I was talking to some folks after the first service, and we can live for God. We can love Him even in public, even in the communities, even in the workplace. And it only takes a moment of our weakness, and all of a sudden we completely do a 180, and we do something, we say something different, and our reflection of Jesus is just smeared and gotten ugly real quick. Never, this commandment says, use the name of Jesus, the name of God, lightly. And if we claim His name, then walk the talk. You say, "Jim, how am I supposed to do that?" Well, physically speaking, friends, we're not going to do it. We walk the talk because we have surrendered our life to Christ. And His Spirit comes into us, and we allow the Spirit to lead us. He's simply saying, "Don't tarnish my name." We've also learned from these two commentators, and as I mentioned to you a moment ago, this is new to me, our prayer life must be in all humility and sincerity and in honesty and in reverence. Brothers and sisters, do you get a vision? Do you get a glimpse for what happened when people come in the presence of God in the Old Testament? Do you get a vision? Do you remember the vision in 2 Chronicles 6 when Solomon had his hands raised and he was praying and praising God because they were about to dedicate the temple? Do you remember that story? They're about to dedicate the temple. They had just built it. And Solomon was raising his hands and praised in adoration to God. And the presence of God came upon him. Do you remember what happened? It knocked them off their feet. It knocked them prostrate on the ground before them, before God's presence. Do you remember Mount Sinai? The people couldn't come to the mountain. They were too afraid. This is the same God that we are worshiping. And yet today it seems like we have reduced Him to some puppet on a string. "I need something, by the way, God." Or, "Oh my," or all the slang that we use. We have brought Him down to our mere humanity's level. We have not left Him as God in our everyday language, in our everyday living, in our prayer lives. We have not left Him as God. When people got in the presence of God in the Old Testament, brothers and sisters, they were knocked off their feet in praise and adoration. "I am in the presence of God." And yet today, I fear that we take Him so lightly, unreverently, unserious. We've also learned from our commentators this morning that false swearing and rash swearing and taking of oaths and stuff is something that Jesus addressed in Matthew 5:33. I'm not going to take the time to go there this morning. I just want to wrap it all up with a couple of things. Have you ever wondered why no one uses Buddha's name in vain? Ever thought about that? You ever wonder why we smack our finger or smack our thumb and give it a whack with a hammer at home, and you ever wonder why Muhammad's name don't come out? You ever wonder about that? Why is it that all of a sudden we want to use God's name in vain? I wonder about that. I want to bring this to a positive here for a moment. And I want to encourage us, when we use the name of Jesus, when we use the name of God our Father, the Holy Spirit, or heaven, we need to do it in absolute reverence and awe of who He is. We need to do it in praise and adoration. If I am going to say the name, utter the name of Jesus, or if I am going to utter the name of God the Father, it needs to be in praise and adoration to Him. If I am going to utter the name of Jesus, the name of God my Father, it needs to be in thanksgiving to Him, in reverent awe of who He is, never in jest, never in cursing, never in damning somebody or something, never lightly in joking. It needs to be in reverent awe of who He is. In Leviticus 24, they had been given the Ten Commandments the first time already. They're wandering around the wilderness. And in Leviticus 24, I'm going to close with this little account. There was an Israelite woman, Leviticus 24, verse 10. There was an Israelite woman's son, whose father was an Egyptian. He went out amongst the people of Israel. And the Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name and cursed. They brought him to Moses. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Bring out of the camp the one who cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And speak to the people of Israel, saying, 'Whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemes the Lord, the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him, the sojourner as well as the native. When he blasphemes the name, he shall be put to death.'" I'm not for a moment advocating that's what we do. I am saying, quite simply, take the name of our Father in heaven, the name of God Almighty, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, with absolute reverence and awe, and in humility and admiration of Him, never in cursing and jest. He takes His name very, very seriously. Take Him out of the camp and stone Him, and that's exactly what they did. And I'm just suggesting this morning, brothers and sisters, half-hearted prayers, hypocritical lifestyles, using His name in vain, outright swearing or whatever else, lightly or carelessly using it in everyday language is breaking the third commandment of God. And so I hope that we can remember this morning, if we can remember a couple of words, remember, do not misuse the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, forgive us. Too often times, I know it's cropped up in our lives, that we have not used Your name in the right way. Father, forgive us for being light and careless with Your name. Oh, the wonderful name that we bow at in adoration and humility. Father, forgive us, even in our prayer life, for being distracted and thinking about everything else but our prayers. Help us, Father, to come to You in humble adoration for who You are. Forgive us, Father, in our lives for claiming Your name and not reflecting Your goodness. Father, I pray that You would direct our paths in this regard, in this in this commandment, help us to be mindful of the wonderful name of God, the wonderful name of Jesus, and to always hold it in highest regard. Father, I praise you. Oh, we praise you. We worship you. We love you. And we need you. Direct us, I pray, in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.